Well, we just celebrated July 4th. How do you feel? Are you proud to be an American? Ashamed to be an American? Or a mixture of both?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There is never a dull moment here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A little while, I want to play a clip for you that was put out by Al Jazeera TV, which comes out of Qatar in the Middle East. And it is critical of America, and there are Americans on it speaking critically of America. I'm going to get your feedback. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Is this the type of criticism that's healthy and right? Is this the type of criticism that comes from the enemies of America? We'll talk about that in the aftermath of the July 4th weekend. Just got an email from a pastor who said that for the first time in his life, I guess he's close to my age, thereabouts, for the first time in his life, he did not celebrate July 4th. He did not go to a fireworks celebration because he is in mourning over the state of our nation. I wonder how many of you may have felt the same way. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to ask you to weigh in today. What's good about America? What's great about America? What makes you proud to be an American? What's bad about America? What's shameful about America? What makes you ashamed to be an American? Maybe you are an immigrant to our country, and you can give us a perspective, having come from another country into the States. What's good, what's bad about America? I have mixed feelings. I've had them for many, many years. Many things that I'm proud of, many things I'm not. So we'll get your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. And I want to make room for those who fundamentally differ with me. You don't believe what I believe about God, about the Bible, about moral issues, about the culture wars. You fundamentally differ. I want to give space to you to weigh in today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A whole lot to talk about today. Oh, just a little bit of news. Maybe you missed this. You know how Chick-fil-A's come under attack because of being a Christian company. They're closed on Sundays. They believe in biblical values and things like that. They're not actively engaged in, quote, culture wars. They're not actively making political statements, nonetheless, simply because the CEO or COO of the company in the past had said he stood for marriage as the union of a man and a woman. They've come under attack. An article I'm looking at in Daily Mail says, despite its controversial politics. But here's the news. The Southern-born Christian-run sandwich chain ranked number one in the ACSI Restaurant Report 2015. This is based on 70,000 people giving their opinions. The number one fast food restaurant in America scored 86, highest of any full fast food or full service chain. Chick-fil-A, last, McDonald's, got a 67 out of 100. Isn't that interesting? Perhaps the haters are in the minority. Perhaps the haters are in the minority. Perhaps a lot more Americans enjoy Chick-fil-A than you might realize. Perhaps the fact that the service is fine, that they stand for Christian values, or that the food is just good for fast food, whatever it is, perhaps that's what matters more to people than the alleged controversial politics, or perhaps the, quote, politics aren't that controversial. What do you know? Congratulations. Well done, Chick-fil-A. All right, we come back. I got to unload. I've got some things on my heart. Stay right here.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. How do you feel about being American? Are you proud of your country? America, love it or leave it. God bless America, land of the free and the home of the brave. Or you feel uncomfortable about being an American right now? Are you more ashamed than you are proud? I'd love to hear why. It's right after the July 4th weekend. I'd love to hear why. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. I want to address something very, very important. There is a reason we've been sounding the alarm for years. There's a reason we have been saying that gay activism is the principal threat to our freedom of religion, speech, and conscience. There is a reason we have been raising our voice all of these years. It's not hostility. It's not hatred. It is simply telling the truth. So Aaron and Melissa Klein, Christian family, five kids, own a small bakery in Oregon. Lesbian couple comes in wanting a cake for their commitment ceremony. The Kleins politely decline because of their faith. There are plenty of things they would decline because of their faith. This is one of many they would potentially decline to participate in. As they've said, the cake, that's their canvas. That's their artwork. That's what they're working on. Well, of course, they are taken to court and found guilty. Found guilty of discrimination based on sexual orientation. Now, the couple that was offended by this put together a list of 178 emotional damages. Between them, 178 emotional damages they experienced, allegedly, because of being told that this Christian couple could not bake a cake for them for their same-sex commitment ceremony. Hey, at that time, same-sex so-called marriage wasn't even legal in Oregon. And surely these women over the years must have met other Christians that did not agree with lesbianism or lesbian couples. But according to the report, they were so traumatized that between them they had a list of 178 issues. Thomas Williams on Breitbart noted that they accused the Kleins of mental rape, adding that they had suffered, quote, a loss of appetite and, quote, impaired digestion, which remarkably led to weight gain. Listen, if anyone was raped here, it was the Kleins by the state of Oregon, not this couple. You say, well, wasn't the couple hurt? I'm sure they were hurt. We get hurt all the time. People reject us, differ with us all the time. That's life in this world. That happens. I'm not happy that they felt hurt, but it's going to happen. But if you really think, if you really believe that because the client simply said, sorry, we can't bake a cake for you, that they really experienced $135,000 worth of damages, I think you need to get your head checked. Here, listen, this is some of what they claim happened to them as a result of the clients declining to bake their wedding cake. Quote, concern for privacy at home. Concern for safety. What, the clients are going to come and throw cakes through your window? Come on. Dislike of going to work. What? Distrust of former friends. Distrust of men. Sweet cakes by Melissa. Distrust of men. Fear of not being able to get another job. What does this have to do with the fact that someone won't bake a cake for your commitment ceremony? Fear of being alone. Felt mentally raped, dirty, and shameful. Future job opportunities damaged. Hysteria, inability to find work, irritability with family and friends, loss of opportunity for bonding with infant, migraine headaches, nightmares, not wanting husband to touch her. I thought these were two lesbians. Is one of them the, quote, husband? Pale and sick at home after work, just to name a few. Either they're completely lying, completely exaggerating, or if they're really having these problems, they need help. They need emotional and psychological help completely beyond what happened to the Kleins or through the Kleins and unrelated to the Kleins. Well, remarkably, Brad Avakian of the state of Oregon, he is the Oregon Labor Commissioner. He upheld the $135,000 fine and put a gag order on them and said, you are not allowed to address this issue. You're not allowed to say, well, we won't bake a cake for another homosexual couple or something like that. He actually claimed this had nothing to do with a wedding or a cake. It had to do with refusal to serve homosexuals. They never refused to serve anybody. They simply said, we won't make a cake for a same-sex commitment ceremony. They served plenty of homosexuals before that. Please, sir, get the facts straight. And who are you to put a gag order on them and to say they no longer have freedom of speech? This is reckless. This is lawless. Someone posted on my Facebook page and suggested that I go to Mr. Vakian's Facebook page, his own page, and I went there. And was I surprised? Can't say I was surprised to see post after post after post, celebrating the Supreme Court decision to redefine marriage, celebrating gay pride, celebrating a gay couple in the state, one post after another. Hey, he's perfectly free to hold to whatever views he holds to, but you better believe he comes in here totally biased. He is an activist for gay activist causes, and now he's coming down with a completely ridiculous fine, absolutely absurd, unmerited on every level, and then a gag order. Aaron Klein said this: for years, we've heard same-sex marriage will not affect anybody. I'm here firsthand to tell everyone in America that it has already impacted people. Christians, get ready to take a stand. Get ready for civil disobedience. Yes, of course. The time is here where we politely and respectfully say, sorry, I have to obey God. I'll serve you whoever I can serve you. I'll honor authority whoever I can honor authority. But I cannot violate my convictions. I cannot violate my conscience and the word of God, come what may. In fact, rather than calling that civil disobedience, better to call it biblical obedience. The time is now. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phones momentarily. Listen to this clip from Al Jazeera. It's their digital media platform. Dennis, this is clip number one. After this, we'll go to your calls, find out how you feel about being an American. Clip number one.
You probably know that the U.S. leads the world in the most Olympic medals won, the most number of Nobel laureates, and the most billionaires.
But we also lead the world in some other ways.
We have the most incarcerated people in the world. God bless the prison industrial complex.
When it comes to obesity, we lead the global Mickey D's line. A third of us can't even see our own toes.
We've got 90 guns per 100 persons. Sorry, Yemen, we beat you in drones and guns.
We make 89% of the world's porn. That makes porn as American as church on Sunday.
Americans consume 80% of the world's painkillers.
Other developed nations can't compete when we lead with the most number of teen pregnancies per capita.
Credit card debt? Grab your Visa, because we lead the world in that too.
All right. Is that an unfair attack? Obviously, all American voices. The fact it's produced in Qatar, ultimately, or Al Jazeera TV, owned by a company in Qatar, which is a Muslim country, and obviously we'd have differences with their treatment of people within their own country. Does that make it hypocritical? Are those fair critiques? Are those imbalanced, unfair attacks? How do you feel being an American today? What makes our country great? What makes our country shameful? 866 34-TRUTH. We'll start in Brooklyn, New York, with Georgia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
God bless you and your mission work.
Thank you.
I want to say that I love America and I love being an American. I grew up fatherless, and I wasn't considered a minority. I grew up fatherless in this country with a single parent in the days where people didn't get divorced. And because America is what it is, I was able to survive and climb and overcome and succeed. So I'm very proud of being an American. What I feel sad about is that so many of us are letting down our boundaries and our strongholds and the things that we stand for. Why are we denying what we are and who we are? I praise God, and that's why I made it in America, because we were free to praise God. And that's what I call to say today.
Got it. You know, George, I appreciate it. Yeah, a lot of great things about America, a lot of admirable things about America, land of opportunity, land of freedom in certain ways, but it does seem like we're throwing a lot of things in the trash, a lot of our freedoms. It does seem that we are abusing the gifts that God has given us. And I think for many, thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing that. I think for many that we're in a situation now where we know the good about our country. We know the tremendous potentials that remain here, that if you've come from other countries, there's much you can appreciate about America. I imagine statistically there are a good amount more people coming into our country than leaving to go to other countries. And yet, having traveled the world for many years now, having worked with internationals for years, I've had mixed feelings about being an American for years. Grateful, profoundly grateful, and yet grieved. We'll be right back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died.
How would you feel living right now and as a follower of Jesus, say, in Pakistan or Saudi Arabia? How would you feel as far as freedom? How would you feel living right now, say, as a Jewish person in France or England? How would you feel about living in many other countries in the world compared to America? We grew up saying, God bless America. We say the Pledge of Allegiance every day in school. Most people grow up proud of their own countries. As I travel around the world, most people are proud of their citizenship, their country. America is exceptional in many ways. America, in a short period of time, has become a massively influential power around the world. And yet, at the same time, there's a lot that we do that's not good. There's a lot that we do that's harmful, that's negative, that's destructive. What are your feelings after the horrific Supreme Court ruling? And you know that we're going to be pushing this even all the more aggressively on nations around the world, using our influence, using our power, at least through the Obama presidency. What are your feelings at this time, being an American? 866-348-7884. Take America out of the equation. What would have happened in World War II? What would the world look like? Take America out of the equation with the growth of radical Islam in different parts of the world. What would the world look like right now? The flip side, take America out of the equation. A vast majority of pornography worldwide would not exist. So much materialism and greed around the world is exported from our shores. There's good, there's bad. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Germantown, Maryland. Diane, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, and I love your show.
Thank you.
I feel like less of an American. I feel betrayed by our country. This is the first year I have did not partake in even hanging the American flag or displaying it. I feel like our new flag should be a white surrender flag with the U.S. slapping God in the face, and that's really how I feel. We've gone too far. I really don't, it doesn't interest me as people want to be gay. Whatever you are in your life, that's God's call. I can't pass judgment. But I will say it's very hurtful. I'm actually hurt deep down in my heart that we would go ahead and decide as a nation that we would go ahead and just call gay marriage marriage. I wish it would have been a gay civil union. I wish it would have been anything else, but the word marriage to me threw it completely off the face of the planet. The good news is Christ will come sooner than later, but I'm very, very disheartened. I love the freedom. I'm fortunate to live here. I tell my daughter she's very fortunate to be in the United States, but I'm very hurt by this, and more importantly, God is absolutely taken over by this, I'm sure. Very hurtful.
Mm.
Not proud to be an American at all. I hope I get it back. I'll tell you one thing that I would say to the good of all of this, or to help
future generations is that I can't tell you that I did one single thing to prevent gay marriage. And that's really, you look at that and you feel like somehow you're part of the decision that our president made, because it really tells me to stand up for Christ and, you know, to become a more faithful servant than I have been.
Yeah, well, Diane, I appreciate your honesty. Number one, I appreciate your honesty. And I share your grief. For me, that turns to intercession, not depression, not discouragement, but it turns to intercession. It turns to crying out to God for revival. I don't believe it's over for America. There are many things wrong that we need to fix right now in our country, the Supreme Court decision being one massive part, but there are many, many things on so many other levels. Our massive debt remains a problem. Look, the fact that we have the largest prison population in America, there's something somehow has to be done to address family needs in the inner cities and things like that. There are hosts and hosts of things that have to be addressed in our country. To me, again, the grief turns to intercession. The question is, what can be done? Diane, when you said that you feel you didn't do anything to stop the redefinition of marriage in America. Obviously, I've been seeking to raise my voice about that for years and encourage people to take stands in various ways. What do you feel you can do now? Standing up for Jesus, just being a more bold witness, praying, what do you feel?
I feel like I pray on a constant basis, particularly for this country, because I'm in full agreement that, for lack of better words, it's just going downhill. This just further, you know, pushes that button. I really feel like I can be more of a witness to Jesus, and be more of a witness and an outward witness rather than, you know, keeping silent. Or I know a lot of my friends who are supposedly Christian, they're, you know, either their kids are gay and they're all for it and they sign petitions, and I'm not understanding because they tell me, well, it's okay, their child is gay, they could marry, they can actually have a child, that I am way back in the early centuries. And I keep saying that God's command was to have a woman and a man marry so that they could propagate. It would never happen. It can never happen with a woman and woman, man and man, without the intervention, without actually physically doing something to create life. And that is completely wrong. It's not what we were designed to do. We were not designed. If we were designed to be a total gay marriage community, then I would suppose that Adam and Eve would have been the only people that would have been included in the population on the planet had they been gay. We would not. I feel like I can spread the word. I feel like I believe I'm going to start a blog on it. I'm going to try to find other bloggers, and I'm going to maybe WAVA get involved with your station more to spread the good news.
Yeah,
of people that feel this way now.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely, Diane. And look, telling people to listen to this broadcast is very, very helpful. And we'll educate with compassion and outreach to those who identify as LGBT. And at the same time, standing for what is right in our society. In fact, Diane, stay right there. I want to send you a DVD I think you'll find very helpful. It's my debate with my friend Rabbi Shmuley about homosexuality. Is it America's greatest moral crisis? My answer to that was no. But I explain what the issues really are. So stay there. As soon as Betsy gets a free moment, she'll come on and get your info and send you my debate with Rabbi Shmuley on homosexuality. Friends, I want to encourage you to recognize that things can be done to bring about change. Things can be done to bring about change. My newest book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, will fill you with hope, courage. You can pre-order it on Amazon. It'll fill you with hope, and it'll fill you with courage, and it'll give you principles to live by. But more than anything, we can pray, we can cry out to God, we can stand for what's right, we can reach out to all people, we can make decisions to stand for righteousness. Connect with me on social media. Connect with me on social media. This way, when I'm writing something, you can share it with others. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Connect with us on Facebook or Twitter. We can be a voice together. And check out this week's special resource offer, the number one tool I've developed to give to a Jewish person who doesn't know Jesus, or to give to a follower of Jesus to find out who Jesus really is. Check it out with a special bonus DVD.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. Are you glad to be an American, proud of our country? What's good about America? What's great about America? What's exceptional about America? Or have we lost all that? Have we just become so secular? Have we become so materialistic, so worldly, so obsessed with the things of this world? We are forced for good in the world or forced for bad. We have sent missionaries around the world and have been a massive world force for missions. We have built hospitals and done humanitarian work around the world. We have been a massive force for good. We have helped fight back evil around the world militarily and in other ways. And at the same time, we've exported materialism. We've exported sexual immorality. We've exported cults and false religions and a watered-down gospel around the world. We've been a massive force for good and for bad. How do you feel about being an American today? 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go back to the phones, here's a perfect example of what is right and what is wrong with America. Here's a focus on what's wrong. Kathleen Brown reported on CNSnews.com on July 1st, Seattle sixth graders can't get a Coke at school, but can get an IUD. Middle and high school students can't get a Coca-Cola or a candy bar at 13 Seattle public schools. All right, so trying to have things more healthy there. All right, so can't get Coke or candy bar at 13 Seattle public schools, but they can get a taxpayer-funded intrauterine device and implant it without their parents' consent. What kind of madness is this? What kind of madness is this in our schools? Fine, you don't want to have soda and candy bars in the school so the kids eat more healthily? Fine. If their parents want to send them with something, fine. If they don't, great. You want to do that? It's your business. I would rather they had a Coke or a candy bar. And trust me, I'm eating super healthy and I'm not into Coke or candy bars. But I would rather they could get a Coke or candy bar at school on their own than get an intrauterine device, especially without parents' consent. Can I repeat myself? What kind of madness is this? The article continues, school-based health clinics in at least 13 Seattle area public high schools and middle schools offer long-acting reversible contraceptives, including IUDs and hormonal implants. What? To students in sixth grade and above at no cost, according to Washington State officials. The long-acting reversible contraceptives, LARCs, are associated with serious side effects, such as uterine perforation and infection. IUDs specifically can also act as abortifacients by preventing the implantation of a fertilized egg. The state and federally funded contraceptive services are made possible by Take Change, a Washington state Medicaid program, which provides free birth control to adults who are uninsured, lack contraceptive coverage, have an income at or below 260% of the federal poverty level, or in this case, to teens who don't want their parents to know they're on birth control. What an outrage. Take Charge said that a student who does not want their parents to know they are seeking reproductive health services is allowed to apply for Take Charge using their own income. And if they're insured under their parents' plan, the insurance would not be billed. What a duplicitous, ugly thing. No, we're protecting the kid. No, unwanted pregnancies. No, you're destroying family unity. You are destroying responsibility. You are encouraging promiscuity among young people. Boy, oh boy, do we need awakening or do we need awakening? We'll be right back with your calls. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
America!
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. As we listen to Ray Charles sing America the Beautiful. Is it beautiful today? Is it blessed today? Is it a country can say, I'm proud to be an American? Or do you have mixed feelings? 866-34-TRUTH as we begin this new week after the July 4th weekend. We go to Edison, New Jersey. Cindy, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I am a first-time caller, and I happen to be one of those folks that I'm off today that you mentioned about, you know, being off for the 4th. So I took an extra day, and I finally got a chance to call. I love being in America. I love living in America. I celebrated yesterday with my family. Anytime I can get together with my family, we will celebrate. But I wanted to talk about there is a deep, something is missing in America today, and especially it's getting worse, the deep racial divide that's going on in America. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been going on for hundreds of years, but my issue is, why haven't we, with all of the progress in the United States, why haven't we been able to share with the what we call minorities? I really don't like using that word, but for lack of a better word, when the playing field for minorities have never been fair, why is it so? It seems like it's getting worse instead of better.
Yeah, Cindy. Go ahead.
And I can give you four instances, but I'll let you respond.
Yeah, I think it's because we have addressed the problems wrongly. We've recognized the problems. We've recognized the horrible past with slavery and segregation. We have a country now where anyone can make it to the top, as we see with our president. But I believe the strategy, the so-called war on poverty, ended up locking people into poverty more. I believe that we have to find a way to empower people, that we have to find a way to address the deeper problems in the family, in the home. So many people are born with like two strikes against them in the environment and upbringing, and the welfare system that we have just seems to exacerbate it rather than help it. It just creates a situation where people are put down. I think there are a lot of factors. Look, the fact that abortion clinics thrive in the inner city, that there's a disproportionately high number of abortion of black babies. To me, that's an ongoing war. Planned Parenthood says, no, we're trying to help. I look at it as an ongoing war. So I don't think it's a matter of the rich are keeping things for themselves and keeping the poor down. I think it's a way that we're addressing things politically is the wrong way, we've got to look holistically. What are we doing in our education system to help? How can we build up families in the inner city? How can we address the massive prison population issues? To me,
and
it's this.
That is mine. Absolutely.
It's a vicious cycle, and it's not like you just open the doors of prisons. It's just what I feel, Cindy, that we have to stop and say, okay, we're not pointing a finger at anybody, but the problem is bigger than we're acknowledging. We're putting little Band-Aids on a much bigger problem. How can we come together as one country, as Americans, and say, we're hurting, we've got to fix this?
Absolutely, because we go to all these other countries, just as you said, and there's imperialism. We do things over there, we help them, but our own country, our own people, they're suffering. Because when I look at it, I look at the marijuana. Okay, so marijuana is a recreational drug now in several states. I don't quite know how many, but people are getting rich from this. When we have people, young men and young black women and men who have been incarcerated over, I mean, maybe they had like a bag of marijuana, not even that much. I don't know in terms of what you would call it, but they're in jail. They have prison terms. Why can't they overturn some of that and let them, you know, live their lives? Because the people out here, they're making money off the very thing that they went to jail for.
Yeah, let me just say this. I think that's a totally fair question, Cindy. But I think that is such a one. It's not tiny to the people that are in jail because of this, but it's tiny in terms of the larger issues we need to address. The fact that marijuana is legal in a few states now, as you mentioned, is only another shooting ourselves in the foot in terms of hurting ourselves as a nation. It's just going to create more problems. It is a gateway drug to other drugs. It's much more potent now than it was over 40 years ago when I smoked pot as a teenager. And it's leading to other issues with equivalent to DUI, et cetera. But Cindy, there are larger things that you raised that have been on my mind that I definitely want to talk about on future broadcasts. But thanks for calling in. So glad you were able to. And let's keep praying for the repentance and the healing of our nation. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Washington, D.C. Dee, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call. I just wanted to start off by saying I do feel incredibly blessed to have been born in America. I don't really know how I feel about my, you know, American citizenship as it relates to that feeling of, you know, being blessed. I'm an African-American male. I was born, you know, to a single-parent household in the middle of the ghetto, and in many countries that would be a death sentence. But, you know, because I'm in America, even though as I was coming through the academic ranks, I was not even born again, and no one in my household was born again. But because I'm in America, I was able to kind of rise through the ranks and, you know, got my PhD and, you know, started from zero, and now I'm kind of made it to the top in an area where, again, I would have had a death sentence if I was born in another country. And then, of course, you know, through the process, I ended up, you know, becoming a Christian. And, you know, my vision changed, if you will, you know. And that's really where I get this, you know, this difficult stretch and strain with how I feel. America is arguably one of the best countries on the face of the earth, if not the best, but that's on a relative scale. And as I look at some of the decisions, you know, I think this is kind of what happens when the leadership decision-making body is not focused on the Lord. You know, I mean, you get decisions like this. You know, people are going to want to push the envelope. If you don't have the Holy Spirit to guide the decision-making, then these kinds of results follow. And I guess my struggle is I'm wondering if this is more of an indictment on myself as a Christian and the Christians in the U.S. or around the world. You know, maybe we should have, you know, fasted one day more. You know, maybe we should have been praying that much more fervently. I think a lot of times we have this country club Christian mentality that mm-hmm. leaves us in a position where, you know, we're happy to be here and we're not really prepared to do the work that the Lord requires of us.
Yeah, clear and articulate, Dee, for sure. Let me say this. It's not a matter of we should have fasted one day more or prayed more fervently. We should have fasted, period. We should have prayed, period. In other words, the vast majority of American Christians have hardly prayed fervently for awakening in America, have hardly spent days or weeks fasting and crying out to God for a nation, have done virtually nothing to stand against the onslaught of abortion or to stand against the redefinition of marriage, have done very little outreach. It's just the fact. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of Americans that are American believers who are actually engaged in gospel witness and really praying and seeking the face of God and crying out. It's sad, but it's true. What encourages me, sir, is that we don't do well in a status quo situation. we have the country club mentality. How many people fast when they're on vacation? Hardly anybody, right? It's vacation. How many people spend quality time praying when they're at a country club? Not at a country club to have fun or to play golf or do whatever they do at the country club. So that's the mentality we've been in America. What encourages me is as things are shifting so radically and we're starting to live in more revolutionary times, that's when the people of God actually wake up. That's when we begin to take a stand. That's when we begin to seek God. So the shift, as ugly and horrific as it is still positive in that it's waking us up. The ship, the cruise ship, is starting to capsize and believers are starting to wake up and say, what can we do? But it's not too late if we cry out. Thank you, sir.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, check out my latest articles. Oregon declares war on the Christian faith. And why two, the question gay activists cannot answer. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article to read those. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Boston, Massachusetts. Jeff, welcome to The Line of Fire.
How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
It's my first time calling, too. I've been hearing some of these people speaking over, and believe it or not, I'm proud to be an American, but it's very, I feel very shameful regarding, the turnout of what's been going on regarding the Supreme Court taking decisions that as people of the land that interpret laws and all that, it's very ironic that they use the Bible to have people swear the truth and nothing but the truth or help from God, that they too violate that principle regarding the this whole thing about the gays and lesbians and all that. But I mean, I don't have no problems with that. The issue that they shouldn't be calling it marriage, because marriage is according to God's will and intentions that man and woman should marry and raise a family, raise kids and all that. And so, I mean, they call that marriage. That should have been called union. And I mean, I'm ready to give up my marriage license. I want my marriage license to stay married per God's will, according to what the word says. And basically they're kind of like blasphemy against God's word, because the thing
Jeff, let me just jump in and say this, and I appreciate the call. Obviously, Americans could say, look, we're not obligated to live by the Bible. We're not obligated to, this is not Christian Sharia law where every American has to swear on the Bible, etc. I understand that. But marriage has not just been defined by the Bible. Marriage has been defined by society. Marriage has always had a certain function and union. It's the only thing that can propagate for the next generation and join children with their biological mother and father, which is the best social welfare state or status for the society. So we know and understand that. And when it's not just America making a decision here with the Supreme Court, this affects everybody. This is now an oppressive thing. I have been flooded with the ugliest posts, the ugliest comments. I mean, unbelievably profane, one after another. Bigot, you're a hater. The most unclean, vile, despicable. Plenty of them. I can't even quote a fraction of them on the air. Mm-hmm. And it's all saying the same thing. That we are now big as the Supreme Court has decided. And trust me, this is being used as a club against people of faith. This has been used. It's going to be used consistently for other countries, saying you get online, you conform with this, or else we're putting pressure on you. So the implications are massive. And yes, so many wonderful and great things about our country. So many reasons that we are and should be proud to be Americans, and so many others where we just have to hang our head in shame. Thank you, Jeff, for the call. I appreciate it. We go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Abigail, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Dr. Brown, the reason that I'm calling is because I don't really know how to say what I'm going to say, but I'm going to try.
Go for it.
Because I want to be a business person. I do not want to discriminate against anyone. I'm quite insulted that so many people need permission from me or someone else to do their life however they choose to do it. The Bible does tell us that we are not to be judging anyone or anything, and I don't think that is our right. And so, therefore, I feel if I'm a businesswoman and someone comes into my store or my business for service, I give them service. I'm insulted that they will tell me about their personal life or their sexual life. I feel that people want to be accepted for the things that they do. I do not have the key to heaven or hell. I do not care where anyone goes. I know that I love the Bible and I love Jesus. And so as long as I conduct myself that way, we cannot make a rule in America. The reason America is giving people the right to do whatever they choose to do, they're giving them freedom of speech and freedom of action. But the government is not telling us whether we're going to hell or heaven. He has given us the right to choose. And I believe the right people, we're going to choose God.
Mm-hmm. So, Abigail, yeah, I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Thank you for weighing in. Thank you for making yourself clear. All right. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. I got time for one more call. Billy in Rhode Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing?
Very well,
okay,
thanks.
I'm going to be a little bit off topic, but it goes back to the base of the situation here, the heart of people, you know? And you're talking about the girl called about the marijuana thing and races and all this. But, see, it goes back to the Bolshevik Revolution, okay, and the heart of man, you see, the overthrow of God, you know? And you see it goes all the way, and I hate to say this because there are nice Democrats and I'm not a Republican, but, you know, that's this uber-left-wing Democrat process to cause chaos, to destroy people, to forget your traditions. That's the problem. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not like laws and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, look, there are deeper issues that come down to this sense of we don't want God to be our God. We want to cast off God. We want to cast off biblical morality. We want to cast off the ways of God. You ever have children talking and they don't think the parents can hear them? And they're really upset, and they say, you know, mommy hates me. She said, daddy never, you know, and they don't realize mommy and daddy are listening, but they're talking freely. That's kind of the feeling I have with a lot of Americans. It's like, the Christian day is over. The Christian dominance is over. The Christian morality is over, and we can do whatever we want to do and say whatever we want to say. And they're letting it out. And, Billy, it is all-out hostile. I get, you know, one post is blasting me for my moral stand, and the next post is blasting God. One post is blasting me, you know, online for holding to a certain value. And then another post is blasting, you know, the so-called oppressive God of the Bible. So it's a fundamental rejection of God in many, many ways. Hey, I got to run. I know you had more to say, but we're out of time. Thank you. We'll continue the conversation another day. Friends, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. When you're there, click on the special resource offer. There's a video you can watch. It'll show you more about the book I've written, The Real Kosher Jesus, number one book I wrote to give to a Jewish person that wants to find, who is this Jesus really? It'll open their eyes. People have come to faith. Jewish people have come to faith reading that book. And then it's the number one book I wrote to give to a Christian to show them who Jesus Yeshua really is. It'll open their eyes and their heart. When you get it, we're giving you my testimony that we filmed on Think It Through series from LSD to PhD, where we dramatize it. It's a great tool, resource. Check it out at AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, as an American, I'm so thankful for the beautiful, wonderful heritage in our country, for the good we've done around the world, but I'm also hanging my head in shame and repentance. Well, we just celebrated July 4th. How do you feel? Are you proud to be an American, ashamed to be an American, or a mixture of both?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so I had gotten back from Israel, Pennsylvania on Saturday and just had been slightly run down, very, very slightly, just after the travel and time changes and being a little short on sleep. So I was able to relax more over the weekend, got some good writing and editing done. And so Sunday night, I'm just having a salad for dinner and taking it easy at home. And decide, hey, I'm going to watch, do a little writing in the background, but I'm just going to chill. I'm going to watch the American women play Japan in the Women's World Cup of Soccer. This is Michael Brown. You are listening to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In a few minutes, I'm going to take your calls. You can weigh in, tell me how you feel about being an American right after July 4th weekend. One pastor sent out an email earlier, he's got to be about my age, said for the first time in his life he didn't go to celebrate fireworks. He didn't go to a firework display and celebrate because he's just mourning over the state of America and the decisions our nation has made and the direction that we're going. He was mourning. Instead of red, white, and blue, he's wearing black in mourning. Some of you feel like that, and some of you say, no, no, there's so much good about our country. Well, we'll take your calls. Get the pulse of how you feel as an American, 866-34-TRUTH. So anyway, I'm watching the game, and I'm kind of in a state of joyful shock as an American, you know, rooting for our team. And wow, I mean, this lead within a couple of minutes and a 2-0 lead. If you never watched soccer, 2-goal lead, I mean, that's giant. And to get it within the first few minutes, then 3, then 4, it was almost like out of some movie where it just seems surreal. With 4-goal lead within 20 minutes, I mean, completely insurmountable. And one of the goals is just the most wild goal. And one of the ladies got a hat trick, means 3 goals scored, first one in the women's final. Obviously, the quickest hat trick ever, and on and on. And so I'm watching the game right to the end and glad to see the victory. Felt bad for the Japanese team. You know, honor is so big and in their culture especially. And anyway, I say to myself at the end, it's just a soccer game. I say to myself, okay, these female athletes tend to have a higher percentage of lesbians among them. Are they going to make anything into some same-sex? I say to myself, come on, please, don't let it, just let it be a game. Just for once, let it be a game without some political statement being made. Please, just a game. And there's the best player that we had now retiring. This is her last World Cup. And she goes over and embraces somebody in the stands. And I thought, what kind of embrace? Well, what, I just thought nothing. And then I see CNN News, Abby Wambach, wife, Sarah Hoffman. So this is her wife. Share kiss after U.S. World Cup win. Oh, gosh. So for many fans, the pair's tender embrace was the perfect tribute to the historic U.S. Supreme Court ruling legalizing gay marriage across the nation more than a week ago. Wambach and Huffman were, quote, married in 2013 in Hawaii. Excited fans shared the moment on Twitter, adding the hashtag love wins. Oh, gosh. Can't you just have a game? Just have a soccer match without pushing this in our face once again. You say, I didn't want to bring it up. I didn't want to bring it up either. That was not what I was looking for. And I was actually hoping that nothing was going to be made into a political cultural statement. But sure enough, it was. That's the state of things today. 866-34-TRUTH. How do you feel after July 4th, proud or ashamed to be an American? A mixture of both. Phone lines are open.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us on this Monday after July 4th. In a few minutes, I'm going to go to the phones. You can weigh in and share how you're feeling as an American today. 866-348-7884. We have had many international students in our School of Ministry over the years, and one year I asked them how America is viewed by other countries, and I think our American students were a little surprised to hear it. And then, of course, there's the good and the bad. There's the great and the terrible. And we'll talk about how you feel as an American today. Maybe you've served as a soldier. Maybe you served in the military. Maybe that colors your feeling. Maybe you're the family of a military member. Maybe you have lived overseas and then come here and you have great appreciation for America. Maybe you're all the more grieved because you see the potential of a country. Maybe you're older. Your perspective is different than someone younger. We'll see. We'll go to the phone shortly, 866-348-7884. Okay. Let me address some recent comments by Jon Stewart on his TV channel. The question is raised. I raise it in one of my latest articles. Why two? If marriage is not the union of a man and a woman, if you have the right to marry the one you love, if love is love, then why can't you have three women or three men or one man and three women or one woman and three men? I mean, why can't you potentially have that? And since polygamy is so widely accepted in countries around the world and has been in world culture for millennia, then it's really a shorter jump from marriage as we know it to polygamy than from marriage as we know it to same-sex so-called marriage. So listen to what Jon Stewart had to say about that subject.
There will be an effort to force people to conform.
This is redefining a fundamental institution.
Suppose three people say we want to be a marriage. We're three people and we love each other and we want to be marriage. What's to prevent that under this?
Because people aren't born polygamists. You know, I knew even when I was five, I was different. While the other boys played with trucks and army men, I was figuring out bed-sharing schedules with multiple wives.
Okay, it's Comedy Central, so I guess it's not meant to be taken seriously, but it is Jon Stewart, and I think he does mean it seriously on some level. So, John, are you actually serious with those comments? Obviously, you get a rise from your crowd, but are you actually serious with those comments? Number one... plenty of men could say, hey, I'm wired to be with multiple women. As long as I can remember being attracted to women, one was never enough. And when I had a girlfriend, I was attracted to other girls. When I got married, I was still attracted to other women. I mean, men could say that. Men could say, I'm wired this way. I'm born this way. I'm born to be with more women. I've got more sex drive than my wife can handle. And, you know, she needs times in the month when she's off. So, hey, I want to be able to reproduce. I'm wired. I'm made this way. You could very well, very easily give that argument. That's number one. Number two, there's still no reputable scientific evidence that anyone's born gay. If there was, then the American Psychological Association, American Psychiatric Association, which are massively pro-gay activists in their thinking, that they would be the first to say it. But they themselves say we really don't know exactly why people are homosexual and what the character, what the factors are. Is it biology? Is it nature and nurture? Is it a combination? We're not sure. But look, is this the whole thing? The whole argument is I'm born this way and I have this drive? Is that some kind of moral reason for doing things? There are scientists who believe they discovered an adultery gene. Honey, it's not my fault. It's genetic. Oh, that's going to fly. Sure. John, try that out with your spouse. See how that works. All right. Hey, I'm just wired this way. I'm wired to be with multiple women. See how that works. What about the guy who says, I have a violent gene? I beat up that gay guy because it's just my nature. Oh, yeah, we're going to accept that. It's just my nature. And what do we tell people who have tendencies and desires? Look, every homosexual man I've ever talked to, utterly renounces pedophilia. Every heterosexual man I've ever talked to, a woman, utterly renounces pedophilia. What if someone says, but I was born this way? Well, then you need help. It doesn't justify a behavior. So even if someone is born a particular way, what does that prove about morality? Look, there are scientists who believe they've isolated an obesity gene. So should we have fat pride parades? I have the obesity gene. We'll celebrate fat pride. No, you work harder to deal with the obesity. So come on. Come on. There is no good argument that a gay activist has presented yet. If love is love and you have, quote, the right to marry the one you love and you believe in, quote, marriage equality, then if a man loves three women and the women want to enter that in a relationship, or there's a lesbian throuple like that, quote, got married in Massachusetts a couple years ago, or three men that, quote, got married in Thailand earlier this year, then more power to them, right? Love is love. Marriage is union of loving people. If it's not male, female, there's no reason that the number two is magical at all. And John Stewart, you just underscored that for us. Thank you, sir. 866-866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phone, starting in Charlotte, North Carolina, with Diane. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. It's nice to talk with you.
Thank you.
I am an African-American woman and born in the 50s, went through the whole, you know, free love, whatever you want to call it. But I'm happy to be American. I'm proud to be American. But at this point in time, I am ashamed because we are moving so far away from our godly roots. I know slavery and all of that, no, it wasn't right, but it was a part of our history. And God had a reason and a plan why it was, and it wasn't right. He didn't, he didn't start it. Man started that, not God. So we can't blame him. But I am very, I'm hurt. I'm really hurt, and I want to stay on my knees and pray because my grandchildren and other people's grandchildren have a mess to live in. It's horrible. Same-sex marriage is crazy. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. I don't care what laws they put into action. It's not going to work. And I'm also a little bit ashamed of my president. I'm proud that there's a black president, but I'm ashamed of some of the things that he has endorsed. When he called that same-sex couple and congratulated them, I was utterly destroyed. I'm like, no, you don't do that. You just don't condone and go along with this. And he claims to be a Christian. I don't think so. I really don't think so.
Yeah. It is, you know, I share the pain. It's not an anger. It's a pain because you know the greatness, the potential of America. Yes, we have our ugly past in many ways, but we have a glorious past as well. And there's so many things. One of my closest friends in the world is an Indian man, Brother Yesu Padam, and he knows the good America has done spreading the gospel around the world. And if you take America out as a force for good in the world, there's going to be a lot more evil, a lot more terror, a lot more ugliness. And yet, with the prosperity we've had, we've become so greedy and materialistic and carnal and superficial. You go to other countries that are much more simple in terms of their lifestyle and their income, and yet family matters so much more. The family relations are not pulled apart as much. We've done so much good exporting help, humanitarian aid around the world, and yet we've exported pornography around the world. We've exported materialism and greed around the world. It's that mixed feeling. And yeah, I wanted to have the privilege of voting for our first black president. I couldn't because I knew where President Obama was going. And based on things he had said beforehand, I kept hoping I would be wrong. I kept hoping I could cheer him on and say, yes, I'm so proud of you. But as a white American, I've been grieved as well. But we have to, what you're doing is right. We got to pray. We got to pray for God to have mercy. We have to pray for awakening. I've been saying for some time that the bad news is the good news, meaning that as bad as things are, it's finally getting people to wake up. Because, Diane, I think you'd agree, very few have really been praying. Very few have really been crying out. I want to come back on the other side of the break with a word of encouragement. You can get in by calling 866-34-TRUTH. But I want to read some scripture from Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, as we ask the question, how do you feel today about being an American? Are you grieved? Are you excited? Are you pumped? America. Love it or leave it. Is that how you feel? Or do you kind of hang your head? You think of, we're doing more harm than good. Just want to talk honestly. Want to talk honestly as an American. I'm so grateful I'm in this country. So appreciative of the massive potential and freedoms we have in this country, and yet terribly grieved by where we're going and where we're at right now.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Let me read to you from Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. And it's for those who are grieving over the state of America, for those who felt they didn't want to really celebrate things. Ezekiel chapter 9, then he called to me directly. The Lord says to the prophet with a loud voice, "Come near, executioners of the city, each of you with a destructive weapon in his hand." This is Ezekiel prophesying before Jerusalem was destroyed. He's already in exile, but there's further destruction coming on his city. "And I saw six men coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with a war club in his hand. There was another man among them, clothed in linen, with writing equipment at his side. They came and stood beside the bronze altar. Then the glory of the God of Israel rose from above the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. He called to the man clothed in linen with the writing equipment at his side." Now look at this. "Pass throughout the city of Jerusalem," the Lord said to him, "and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the detestable practices committed in it." He spoke as I listened to the others pass through the city after him and start killing. "Do not show pity or spare them. Slaughter the old men, the young men and women, as well as the older women and little children, but do not come near anyone who has the mark. Now begin at my sanctuary." So they began with the elders who were in front of the temple. This is a terrible, terrible time in Judah's history. Terrible destruction coming on Jerusalem. Horrific judgment because they, as the covenant nation, rejected their covenant with God and worshiped idols, instead even sacrificing children in the fire to the god Molech. And God says, put a mark on those who sigh and groan over the sin. God sees it, friend, when you're grieved. God sees it when you're brokenhearted. God sees it when you're terribly burdened. God sees it when you hurt because of the sin in your society, be it the horrific violence that consumes our society, be it the extreme sexual anarchy that consumes our society, be it the extreme materialism that consumes our society, be it the overturning of marriage that consumes our society, and on and on. God sees it when people grieve. God sees it when people mourn. God sees it when people hurt over these things. And as he put a mark on people in Ezekiel's day, I believe he's doing it in our day as well. Listen to this from Malachi, the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter, in verse 16. By the way, I was born March 16th. That's a 3/16. But everybody that knows anything about the Bible knows 3:16. John 3:16 is the most famous verse in the Bible. There are many other important 3:16s. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, 1 John 3:16, Malachi 3:16 is another. "At that time, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another." Another time of corruption and compromise in Judah's history. the Lord took notice and listened. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared Yahweh and had high regard for his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, a special possession on the day I am preparing. I will have compassion on them as a man has compassion on his son who serves him. So you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. When you're all alone praying, God's watching. When your heart is heavy and you break down in tears in intercession, God is taking notice. When all day long at work, you've got that pain on the inside because you're hurting for your nation, God sees that. In a sense, it's a constant prayer going up to God. You know, I realized years ago when I was fasting that the whole time I was fasting, I was conscious of the fact that I was fasting. I was aware of the fact that I was fasting. My body felt different. So even when I wasn't praying, in another sense, I was praying. It was this constant cry going up to God for that very issue. Make no mistake, no hype here, no hype here, no exaggeration. Make no mistake, we are at a unique crossroads in our history. Make no mistake, treacherous times are ahead for us. Make no mistake, there will be opposition to the faith like you and I have not seen in our lifetimes. Make no mistake, there will be vilification of our faith, mockery of our faith, false accusations against our faith and against our Savior, against our God, against our scriptures, beyond anything that you and I have seen in our lifetime here in America. That's the bad news. The good news is this is part of what we need, sad to say, to wake us up. The bad news is it's bad and it's getting worse. The good news is we've been so sleepy, so complacent, so compromised, so just enjoying our Christian lives here in happy, prosperous America that we have failed to take hold of the eternal realities of God, of life and death, of what we're doing in this world. And it takes a lot of shaking to stir us up. Look, 9/11, you know what was said, that was the emergency, 9/11. And instead of waking up, we hit the snooze button. And we have been snoozing on. And if things are going well in our church and our family, that's all we need to know. And if the home team won, all the better. We have really lost the sense of urgency. We have really lost the sense of crying out day and night until the answer comes. Oh, a tiny remnant is, but the vast majority not. May God awaken us. May God stir us. May God cause us to understand the urgency of the day and hour in which we are living. 866-34-TRUTH. I will go back to the phones momentarily, but please hear me. Do not believe any message that says there is no divine judgment in the earth today. Do not believe any message that says that God is not dealing with nations and judging nations today. Do not believe a message that says that, oh, there'll be a future judgment at the second coming, but no judgment between the cross and the second coming. Reject that. It is absolutely unbiblical. And we know that judgment begins with the house of God. Repentance must begin with us. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me encourage you to go to the website and check out the latest resource offer, the number one resource we have to give to a Jewish person who wants to find out about Jesus or to a follower of Jesus to find out who he really is, together with a very popular TV show we did, Think It Through, the Think It Through series. We're making available as a gift to you my testimony from LSD to PhD. It's dramatized. I'm back in the town where I grew up where things, well, unfold right in front of your eyes. You get the DVD when you order the book. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on the special resource offer. We'll be right back with your calls and a lot more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I got an email from a colleague of mine, just grieved. Was the daughter of his cousin, is that right? Is cartoonist, and she put out this she's developed this cartoon that how do you describe it? I mean, words, terms, demisexual, bisexual characters, and some terms I've never even seen used. And she just kind of grew up in a certain environment, radically pro redefining marriage and all of this. And he was just grieving, having watched her grow up, and now she's making these professional cartoons, you know, for like cartoon magazines and things like that, with every kind of imaginable character. What kind of world is it? What kind of world is it here in America where if you want to become famous, you put out a sex tape? Think of it. Think of just 30 years ago, 20 years ago, let alone when I was a kid. Just think of it. That someone secretly filmed someone having sex with another person and then distributed that. That person would never want to show their face in public again. Now, that's where you become famous. Even reality TV shows about teenagers having kids out of wedlock and swinger couples that, you know, they just commit adultery freely and it's all known and they do it. And this is somehow something to be celebrated. What in the world's happened? It's the aftermath of the counterculture revolution of the 60s. It is still the outgrowth of that. Let's go back to Charlotte. I think we got three straight Charlotte callers. Good for Charlotte. Joshua, welcome to the line of fire.
How you doing, man?
How you doing? Yes, go ahead.
I pretty much know my opinion on how I feel about being an American in America nowadays. It's pretty much that America's kind of hypocritical. It's like a big hypocrisy. They tell us, you shouldn't put God in the schools and whatnot. But yet they also want you to go by certain laws of the Bible. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. But when it comes to abomination and gay marriage, they don't want to hear that, you know. So it's kind of being American now is kind of shameful to a certain extent. But also, you know, being under my pastor that I'm under now, Pastor Darrell Anderson, pretty much, you know, we've been taught that, you know, the times that we're living in now is supposed to happen. You know, in the Bible it says that, you know, the world will be as if the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So pretty much the things that we're going through now is supposed to happen. Those Supreme Court judges who are made that decision, God allowed them to make that decision because this is the time that his people have to realize that, hey, God is not playing with us anymore. We have to, you know, be more serious. We actually go out and, you know, be about God's business. If not, you know, he's coming regardless if we want him to come or not. We just have to be ready. We have to be ready for whatever's coming our way because it's only going to get worse from here. It's not going to get any better. Like you said, we have been real complacent. We have compromised too much, you know, pretty much right now. All that compromising is just basically backlashing on us. So as Christians, you know, people who believe in God wholeheartedly, we have to do more. We have to go out more. We have to pray more, seek God more, fast more. And it's, just be all out with it. We can't compromise.
Yeah, and Joshua, let me just say this to add this one point in. Certainly, in many, many ways, culturally and morally, we're in a steady decline in America. And the Supreme Court decision is just the ugly icing on an ugly cake in that respect. So we're definitely on the way down. But doesn't mean that there can't be revival. Doesn't mean that there can't be outpouring. It doesn't mean that there can't be and won't be a holy pushback. I'm actually expecting the church to come alive in ways that we have not been alive in a long time, because when we are the ruling majority, we kind of feel that way, we go to sleep at the wheel. When we wake up to the fact that we are a resistant minority, we start to live more biblically. But they're urgent days, no question. Thank you, Joshua.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
America!
May God have mercy on America. For years, my sentiments have not been so much God bless America, but God, your kingdom come to America. Yes, I want God to bless America as opposed to curse America, of course. But many times when we think God bless America, what do we think? God make us bigger. God make us better. You know, God help us to be greater, as opposed to God, your kingdom come to America. Bring us to repentance. Bring us to repentance for injustice. Bring us to repentance for materialism and greed. Bring us to repentance for immorality. Bring us to repentance for violence. Bring us to repentance for the dissolution of the family. Bring us to repentance so that we can truly be blessed by you, God, in the future. 866-34-TRUTH. Braxton asked me this on Facebook, and I said, you know, I like the question so much. I happen to see it, and most things on Facebook I don't see, but I happen to see this, and I said, I'm going to address this on the air. So here we go. Dr. Brown, I have a question. I preface this by telling you I'm a big supporter of yours. I agree with every stand you've taken. My question is that we know things are supposed to get worse and worse. We know a great falling away is on its way. So if it's all God's plan for it to go this way and it's predicted, how passionate do we get in railing against the world and what they're doing? I think of 2 Timothy 2, 23-25 about even having these kinds of arguments because these people are embodiments of the enemy. It just seems to bring quiet. I'm getting fatigued and constantly being in battle with them. Where do you draw the line? Braxton, again, I appreciate the question so much I decided to answer it on the air. Number one, let's say that things are going to get worse and worse. Let's say that we can demonstrate from Scripture that at the end of the age, the last generation, the last two generations, everything is going to get worse. Let's just say we could say that. I'm not agreeing with that yet, but let's just say it. Well, how do we know where we're living? People said that 50 years ago. People said that 100 years ago. People said that 500 years ago. People said that 1,000 years ago. This is it. It's the last generation. People said it 1,500, 1,800 years. I mean, just all through church history, people thought, this is it, it's the last generation. So if my mentality is always, this is it, it's the last generation, everything's going down, right? Stay with me. This is it, it's over, everything's going down, then there's never ever going to be change. There's never going to be prayer for revival. There's never going to be hope. There's never going to be expectation. So that's the first thing. How do you know exactly where we're at? Well, it's clear. Well, it was clear when I got saved. Everyone said Jesus is coming any minute. That was over 43 years ago. It was clear to others during World War II. Everything had lined up. This was it. It wasn't. It's been clear at other times through history. People have fully expected the end of the age, and it didn't come. So that's number one. That's number one. Number two is I don't see Scripture saying everything's going to get worse. I don't see Scripture saying that. I see the last days, which we've been in since Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. I see the last days as being times of parallel extremes. I see the last days marked by great evil and apostasy, and I see the last days marked by great outpouring of the Spirit. Didn't Peter say in the last days, God said he'd pour out his Spirit on all flesh? Is it significant that missionary work worldwide has increased exponentially after the missionary century of the 1800s and so many missionaries going out around the world, that the 1900s saw the greatest harvest by far in the history of the world, and more people coming to faith in that century than all previous centuries combined, and the increase, the explosion continues in Asia and Africa and Latin America, and now in the 21st century, that's very meaningful. That means the gospel is spreading. There are many parts of the world that are not like Europe and not like America. There are many parts of the world where the gospel is completely overturning things demographically, where countries in Africa that were basically all Muslim and animist are now half or even predominantly professing Christian. where people are coming out of dead religion left and right in Latin America and coming into a living relationship with Jesus. We're in the Muslim world, the harvest is the greatest it's ever been. What about the perspective of 1 John 2 that says that the true light is already shining, that things are getting brighter? What about the perspective of Romans 13, that the day is almost past, the night is at hand? So I do believe that there's great darkness on the earth that will continue to get darker, just like on the planet Earth. On one half, it's dark, and on the other half, it's bright. I believe you're going to have a great increase in God's kingdom moving forward and advancing. Didn't Jesus say the harvest is the end of the age, and there's going to be this massive harvest of both good and bad? So, number one, even if we knew that things are only going to get worse, we don't know exactly where we stand prophetically. The only generation that will know for sure it's the last generation is the generation that ushers back the Lord. Until then, it's speculative. I would rather believe God. I would rather continue to press in. I would rather hold God to his promises. And look, the Bible still speaks of the fullness of the Gentiles coming in. And the Bible still speaks of all Israel being saved. That hasn't happened yet. That means there will be great and unprecedented harvest right up to the end of the age. So, number one, even if I accept it, that everything's getting worse, doesn't mean this is the last generation. Number two, I don't accept that everything's going to get worse. And number three, in terms of the specific, the arguments, I'm burdened by the Lord that I serve to be a prophetic witness in society. Braxton, around the world, literally around the world, people come up to me and look me in the eyes, people older than me, look me in the eyes with tears, young people, they look me in the eyes with tears, and they thank me for the stands I'm taking. No, I'm not the only one. I'm not the last. No. I mean, there are plenty of people. Unfortunately, they're way too few. But people need a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. They need a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. They need help to articulate things. And that's my role. Everybody has their role. It's a joint effort together. We all have our roles. But we are called to be lights in dark places. We are called to be the moral conscience of the society, to be the salt and the light. We are called to stand for justice. We are called to set captives free. That's part of our calling as followers of Jesus. So we engage in the Great Commission, raising up, sending out laborers to the nations, taking the gospel around America. We engage in acts of social justice, fighting against human trafficking, standing for life of the unborn. These are all things our organization, our ministry is actively involved with literally 24/7 around the world because of all of our workers, our extended family, our ministry school grads, and our congregation serving in America and all around the world. We give ourselves to prayer and crying out for revival. We do all those things and we stand for what's right. This has come knocking at our door, Braxton. It is imperative we respond. And if the church had responded as the church instead of the tiny percentage of the tiny percentage of the tiny percentage doing something, if believers had been willing to get involved, if we had repented of our own sins, got our own marriage and family in order, we would not see the things that are happening in the society today. They would not be spreading like wildfire through the media, which is now promoting polygamy and polyamory and swinging and incest and on and on. None of this would be happening, or it would be happening on the tiniest level if we, God's people, had been living right. So we can stick our heads in the sand as if nothing's going to happen, or we can stand and do what's right. And you see, taking these moral stands, Braxton, will help us. It will help us pray for revival. It'll help us cry out for divine visitation. It'll wake people up. It will show more extremely the light-darkness contrast in our nation, and it will motivate people to go after God. 866-34-TRUTH. So thank you for your very honest and respectful question. And look, everything may go south. Everything may go south for a generation doesn't mean there's not going to be a radical bounce back. What are we going to do? Just either cop out or sit on the sidelines or just say, well, what, you know, it's too bad. No. What about our kids and our grandkids? What are we going to tell them? Well, it didn't seem worth the trouble. I got worn out. You say, I don't know what to do. Hey, support us. We know what to do. We've got strategy. We've got plans. We're getting the word out. Yes, politics is important, plays its role, but it's not primarily a political issue. It's primarily a spiritual issue. Politics is part of it, but primarily a spiritual issue. How can you help? Become a torchbearer. You can do that. Put aside a dollar a day or more. You're just trying to get our money. No, I'm trying to help more people. the more funds we get, the more people we can help. The more funds we get, the louder we can get our voice. The more funds we get, the more quality things we can put out to serve you and equip you. So partner with us. Pray for us. Pray for us. Spread the word. Share what we put out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Tell others about the broadcast. And support us. Support us financially, because everything we do, this radio broadcast and everything we do, costs money. And together, friends, we're making a difference. You put aside a dollar or more per day, become a torchbearer. We send you a thank you gift to further equip you, a book that will light a fire in your heart. Every month, I send you a new preached message that will minister to you richly. You get a discount in our online bookstore and free access to our online classes. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate to partner with us.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, on this Monday after July 4th. How do you feel as an American today? Proud to be an American, grieved, mixed feelings. We got a record number of calls consecutively from Charlotte, so the stay with that. We'll stay in Charlotte. Brian, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling today.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to say that I'm truly embarrassed, actually more now than ever, to be an American. People just got to realize, Dr. Brown, that this stems back to the mid-1800s. This has been, what you said, a destruction of the family by Hollywood and certain elites. And remember, you know, the Bible says that we don't struggle against flesh and blood. The principalities of this earth and the powers that be. And these are the powers that, you know, are making these laws. Us Christians are putting them in there. Us Christians are letting the persecution continue. Us Christians are saying, well, you know, being gay doesn't bother me as long as they don't bother me. But it's in the Bible, and, you know, God has warned us about this through his prophecies, as you well know. And if you would, Dr. Brown, I'd just like to make one other quick assumption here. I have an in-law that is grew up as a girl. And when she became late in her teenager, she did always dress like a boy when she was younger. And the point I want to make here is I said, you know, what about all your, because she did this, she did the actual change with the surgery and everything, and is going pretty full forward with this, been through therapy and everything. And I said to her just the other day when I saw her last week, I said, what about all the kids in your school and everything, the high school people that you, oh, she goes, oh, four or five people did this. Nobody says anything. And the point I want to make going back to the destruction of the family is if you take a bunch of 60-year-olds and older Americans today, they would be shocked at that. They would be shocked. But the deterioration of the family, the mid-1800s, especially like the 60s, like you said, from the 60s, it's just, once this generation leaves, my grandparents, your parents, my parents, whoever you are, that of these upper echelon Americans that were great generation, it's done. We've already put our foot in the basket, if you will. You know.
Yeah. Let me say this. On the one hand, it really does seem like that, as far as, you know, you look around and it seems that the kids aren't getting it, there's just so much going on that, teenagers sexting each other, 13-year-old kids sending naked pictures to each other, kids seeing pornography for the first time, 8 years old, and on and on. So many raised in broken homes, you think, okay, it's all going south. In the natural, yes. But let's remember, and thank you for the call, Brian, and I do share the pain with you. Thank you for the call. Let me say this. When Roe v. Wade was determined by the Supreme Court, another infamous decision, as infamous as the June 26th marriage decision, as infamous as the Dred Scott decision in the 1800s, When the Supreme Court made that ruling and made abortion on demand the rule of the nation, it looked like it was over. We were told the ship has sailed. We were told the younger generation is pro-abortion. We were told this has now been determined, it's over. It was far from over. That actually galvanized the pro-life movement. In many ways, that was the beginning of the pro-life movement in terms of really getting force. It is stronger today. Yes, we've had tragic, tragic loss, 55 million babies. What could be a greater tragedy than that? Hard to imagine. However, the pro-life movement is stronger today than it was when Roe v. Wade was passed. There was fragmentation, discouragement, and hopelessness, despair for some, and yet there's been a turning. Who's to say there can't be a turning of the younger generation? Let me give you some tangible encouragement. I'm looking at my computer screen right now, okay? And on the Ask Dr. Brown page on Facebook, of course, it's just not coming up right now under Insights. This is something that we as the ones behind this page can look at. It gives a breakdown of the demographics of the people who are following us online. Male, female, what ages, where do they live, what countries, what cities. I went there the other day just to check out of curiosity and was encouraged to see that the largest single demographic, are you ready? The largest single demographic was young men aged 18 to 34. That was the youngest single demographic. We had, if I'm correct, more men under 18, so young men, teenagers, than we had over 60-something. It was interesting to see. Now, we're spread out through the age groups and between women and men. Some there are more women, some there are more men. But as I travel around the world, I'm greeted by young people all the time who are thanking me for what I'm doing and saying, thank you for being a voice for us, for our generation. In other words, there are many young people who know there's more. There are many young people who have not thrown in the towel. There are many young people who say, we're not accepting this fallen status quo. So, Bronna, I want to encourage you. Yes, it's a grievous time. And yes, you could say, well, we're out of here. It's all, no, because this next generation is going to grow up with the moral collapse of society around it. It's going to grow up with the attack on gender being so extreme that it's not sustainable. It's going to grow up with the bad fruit, and people are going to realize something's wrong. When you have so many kids born to anonymous sperm donors and on, when you have a generation of fatherlessness, when you have the redefinition of marriage, which is going to open itself up to all kinds of other configurations, and on it goes. As that's happening, friends, it's not just the older generation grieved, the younger generation. People are going to cry out. My book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, which you can pre-order on Amazon, my book, which will come out in September, gives strategies for long-term cultural change, saying the gay revolution has the seeds of self-destruction within it. And if we'll pray and cry out to God and live right, we can not only see a great harvest of souls among those who identify as LGBT, but we can also outlast the gay revolution and say, hey, God's ways really are best. So fear not, friends. Receive encouragement. Receive from the encouragement that's in my heart. Receive from the faith and hope that's in my heart. I'm expecting to be part of a massive gospel-based moral and cultural revolution in the coming days. That's why I'm here doing what I'm doing. It's not as the ship goes down that I'll be singing a song as the ship goes down. It's because I believe there's hope, and I believe God's going to move. Oh, there's going to be all kinds of upheaval beyond what we've ever seen here in America in many ways, but there's hope in the midst of it. Light is going to shine all the more brightly. You watch. In fact, let's be part of it together. Go to the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest articles, latest videos to get equipped, to get strengthened, and let's make a difference together. Help us with your prayer. Help us with your gifts. My bottom line today, isn't it true that just when the darkness is at its worst, it is immediately before the sun is about to rise?